Saleh, and this is Living History. This show explores the rich heritage of the Brandywine Valley outside Philadelphia, focusing on the people, places, and events over more than 300 years which have played an important part in our American heritage. Each show highlights a local town, event, or personality who's had a notable influence on our culture. And before we get started, I want to mention that our call-in line, if you have questions or comments, is 610-701-9243. That's 610-701-9243. This day in history, December 14th. On this day in 1799, the father of our country, George Washington, dies at his home at Mount Vernon in Virginia, outside Washington. The nation's first chief executive had served his country for many years, starting as a lieutenant colonel in the Virginia militia during the Seven Years' War, then later as a delegate to the Continental Congress in 1774, agreeing to lead the Continental Army against the British during the American Revolution, and subsequently as president. In 1863, President Abraham Lincoln issues a pardon for his wife's half-sister, Amelia Todd Helm, who was married to a Confederate general. It was one of the first moves Lincoln made trying to reintegrate the Southern rebel states back into the Union, part of his overall plan to grant amnesty in his efforts at Reconstruction, which didn't really take full effect until he was killed less than 2 years later. And in 1911, Norwegian explorer Roald Amundsen becomes the first person to reach the South Pole, beating out his British rival Robert Falcon Scott by days. The early years of the 20th century were ones of vibrant efforts toward exploration in numerous fields, and adventurers wanted to test the limits of human potential by staking claims to unexplored lands and vast stretches of the planet never touched by human hands. Didn't get a chance to see the play Hamilton on Broadway? Always wanted to learn more about our founding fathers? Alexander Hamilton remains one of the least appreciated and most misunderstood of the founding fathers, who's just now coming sharply into public view. The play Hamilton has been such a huge success, generating rave reviews and acclaim around the nation. Ron Chernow's biography of Hamilton was the basis for the play, and the author was even consulted as the show took form. The Alexander Hamilton Awareness Society is dedicated to spreading awareness of Hamilton's many achievements, including his work as trusted aide-de-camp to Washington during the Revolution, later as a delegate to the Constitutional Convention, helping to create our founding document, and subsequently as our first Secretary of the Treasury, where he almost single-handedly created our banking and financial systems. Two people at the AHA Society have been actively involved in educating the public on Hamilton's achievements: Rand Chalet, the president of the AHA, and his daughter Nicole, who helped schedule many of their events around the country. The Society holds activities in January celebrating Hamilton's birth, and in July at Weehawken, New Jersey, where the famous duel occurred with Aaron Burr. Nicole is a key person at the Society, and she's here with us today to tell us about the play, their upcoming events, and related activities in the coming months. Nicole, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Gene. It's a pleasure to be here.
Nicole, now what is your official title there, and what are your duties on a regular basis at the AHA Society?
Sure. So I am the Vice President, and I have a broad variety of duties, but I am largely responsible for our two websites, research and content, social media, our newsletters, our event programs, our membership, and many of our long-term initiatives.
Sounds like you've got quite a bit to do on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
How long have you been involved with the group?
I've been involved since the AHA Society was founded, so just over 5 years now.
Okay, and I know you have a variety of different activities. Just tell us, tell our listeners about the main activities that you conduct during the year.
Absolutely. As you say, our activities are pretty varied, but we have a general theme of education and engagement, and so we engage the public directly through different event programs, through presentations throughout the country, as well as providing online content through social media and our websites to people. And then we also engage directly with public institutions and museums to provide information to them to encourage and support their various activities and presentations and exhibitions that they would have. And then we also provide services such as reviewing upcoming books for authors to help improve their accuracy, and then working on a variety of other long-term projects with groups, including working on opening a new museum in Philadelphia down the road.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, I know you've had some interaction with Lin-Manuel Miranda and the cast of the play Hamilton. Tell us about that.
Sure. So we first met Lin when we attended the reading, which essentially was a rehearsal of just singing of the first part of the Hamilton musical back in 2013 when it was still in workshop form. That was in Poughkeepsie, New York during our Hamilton on the Hudson event program. And we've had a great relationship with them ever since over the various performances we've attended in an official capacity, including the musical's debut on Broadway. We had a very large group for that, including all the top Hamilton authors and leaders of different Hamilton institutions. And every time we've gotten to meet the cast and interact with them, they're just very gracious, very dedicated. Lin's memory for people is just incredible. He's just very kind and gracious and always looking to have the best quality possible.
Now, Lin is an actor, but I guess he's also now a producer, a playwright and producer. Is he a longtime history buff? I mean, what have you come to know about him and his background?
I don't know if he's a long-term history buff, but he... you know, anyone that's going to choose a 900-page book for a of a history buff, he was very dedicated from the beginning of getting as much historical accuracy possible. So he worked with Ron Chernow and others as a historical consultant to really see how he could fit as much of the true historical narrative into the time constraints and physical constraints of a musical.
Mm-hmm. Quite a bit of work. I've read Chernow's book. It is excellent. And really, that did focus attention on Hamilton sharply in the last several years. Did the AHA Society have much input into things that actually went into the play?
So the AHA Society really respected that the musical was Lin's baby. We didn't try to influence specifically the play in any way. But we did help, for example, with the making of the documentary of the behind-the-scenes making of the musical. So we were filmed several times at our events for that, and we helped put the creators of the documentary in place with other important groups and sites to film at. So we were pretty involved with that. And we've certainly spoken a lot backstage with Lin and others, as you know, as well as through email, about the development of the musical.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, the whole cast have to have some kind of an interest in Hamilton's life. Have you talked to the several cast members about the details of what Hamilton's life was all about, what he did, his accomplishments?
Absolutely. In particular, Chris Jackson, who plays Washington, seems very engaged with the history, and it's been a pleasure to talk with him about that. And it's really fun to see how maybe some of the cast members that weren't that much into history before really form a connection. For example, we had John Rua, who originated the role of Charles Lee in the play, but he also performed as Hamilton later on. He came to speak at one of our events during our Celebrate Hamilton program over this past summer, and it was really fascinating to see, for him to discover how much his own life has mirrored Hamilton's. He's a son of immigrants. He was born in the same city where Alexander Hamilton first emigrated from the Caribbean and attended school in the same city as him, got his break in New York City. He really has that same Hamiltonian drive, and so it was so fascinating to share all of that information with him in the place that Hamilton went to school, and really see John's own realizations about his own life and how history can still be so alive. So that was really fascinating.
That sounds very interesting. What did you personally think of the play?
Oh, it's fantastic, of course. I personally can really appreciate the masterful intersection of history, musical theater, and hip-hop, which would be a Venn diagram that very few people are familiar with, but it's really exciting, you know, not just from my own personal perspective, but to see how people from all ages and backgrounds, even if they're not connected to one or any of those three intersections, really connect to it. And I think it's really one of the most cathartic theater experiences that one can have. And it's just so powerful to see how many people walk out of the theater inspired by Hamilton's life and wanting to take that power of the musical and do something that changed something in their own. And, of course, I'm just so impressed with the many little historical details that Lynn was able to weave throughout the musical.
I have seen the play. It is superb. I have to say that rap and hip-hop are not really my cup of tea, but the music is kind of superfluous almost. The story is very well developed. The sets are great. The acting is very, very well done. And I thought it was really an outstanding play. Largely because of this play, Hamilton is really hot right now. Some books have come out in the last few years also highlighting Hamilton's achievements. Tell us about some of those.
Yes, there have been some new books coming out, which is very exciting for us, and many of which the AHA Society has been able to help shape or contribute towards. So one of the most impressive is Alexander Hamilton, The Formative Years by Michael E. Newton, and that is the most detailed look at the first half of Hamilton's life. It's a tome like Chernow's, but so impressive how detailed that book is if people are really wanting to learn more about Hamilton's life. Another book that's a bit more fun and quirky is Alexander Hamilton's Guide to Life by Jeff Wilser. And for visual people, there's a new book that just came out by Dr. Silla called Alexander Hamilton, an Illustrated Biography, and it is just a beauty. So I really recommend that for visual people. And another one of the recent books that came out is called Where Was the Room Where It Happened? And that's a specific reference to the musical and was written by someone that was inspired by the musical specifically. And it's essentially a location guide to different historic sites related to Alexander Hamilton that people can visit today. And so the AHA Society has been working with new versions of that book to also include more sites in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia, New Jersey, and, of course, New York City.
Excellent. Yeah, I do have Michael Newton's book. It's very well done, extremely detailed. So if you're looking for details on Hamilton's life, that's the one. And the brand new one by Richard Silla is also excellent, very well illustrated. We are about to take a brief break, but stay with us, and we will be right back with Nicole Chalet of the Alexander Hamilton Awareness Society.
Do you have a wedding, graduation, baptism, confirmation, milestone, or birthday to plan? You need John Surratt Catering, one of the most highly rated and preferred caterers throughout the Philadelphia area. They will be there to create and cater your event while assisting as much or as little as you desire. Planning a decadent, over-the-top company gala? Need help transforming your backyard into the party of the year? Want to wow your clients with a delicious luncheon? Then you need John Surratt Catering. All you have to do is call and they'll handle the rest. Located at 835 Lincoln Avenue in Westchester, visit them at SurrockCatering.com or call 610-640-2836. That's 610-640-2836.
If you had to choose a roofer, would you choose one with limited experience and knowledge, or would you choose a roofer certified as a master elite contractor by the largest manufacturer in the nation, GAF, a distinction shared by only 3% of the nation's roofers? I'm talking about GP Martini Roofing, who also does siding, windows, doors, and offers an ironclad guarantee that he'll repair or replace any roof for defects within its normal life. GP Martini Services, Chester, Delaware, Bucks, and Montgomery counties, with free estimates and consultation, and does both commercial and residential. Go to their website at martiniroofing.com for special savings, or call 610-873-1696. And also, financing is available with no payments for a full year. Now, what roofer would you call? GP Martini is the answer, 610-873-1696.
Hi, I'm Rich Britton of Passionate About Pets, Compassion for All Animals. Broadcast Mondays at 3 on WCHE. Wishing you and your family, and that of course includes your pets, a warm, wonderful, and relatively stress-free holiday season.
I'm Gene Pasale, and this is Living History. Today we're speaking with Nicole Chalet, the Vice President of the Alexander Hamilton Awareness Society, about the play Hamilton, the many achievements of Alexander Hamilton, and their various events that they hold all around the nation. Nicole, what do you personally think are Hamilton's most important accomplishments?
Ooh, that's a very tough question to answer succinctly because he truly had long-lasting impacts on law, military, economics, finance, government, education. I really could spend a lot of time talking about each category, but we really can't underestimate the importance of his work in establishing the stable government and fiscal institutions that really allowed our country to develop as it did when you compare us as a colony after receiving our independence to most of the other colonies that received their independence from Europe later on. The AHA Society President, Rand Chalet, gives a one-hour presentation called Alexander Hamilton, America's Indispensable Founder, that I think really does a great job impressing the importance of the institutions that Hamilton developed. So that's available on our website in video form for anyone that might like to learn more about that.
Excellent. For full disclosure, I must say that I am a member of the Alexander Hamilton Awareness Society and have been to many of your events, and I've also just written my master's degree thesis on Alexander Hamilton as the architect of the American financial system, and my book will actually be out early next year. Tell us what the AHA Society has planned for the coming months.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I just want to say that we appreciate your support, Gene, and we're cheering you on and very excited about your thesis and it becoming book form. We're all looking forward to reading that. In terms of what's coming up for the next couple months, we have our annual program celebrating Alexander Hamilton's birthday coming up in January with events largely held around the New York City area in New Jersey from January 7th to the 11th. January 11th is Hamilton's actual birthday.
I hear Hamilton himself may actually show up and give a lecture at the Grange, his home.
Yes, you never know what might happen. We have a lot of great speakers and venues lined up, and we will also be hosting our first ever gala to end the multi-day celebration. So we definitely encourage everyone to attend all of our events, including the gala. We do as much as possible to make most of our events free or very low cost. And we pack a lot of Hamilton events in a very few days, so for any history buffs or Hamiltonians that might be out of the New York City area, it's a really great time to come to New York City for a little historycation and explore the history there.
Very good. You know, I have been to several of your events. They're really very well done. I usually have a wide variety of speakers. And for our listeners who don't know, Alexander Hamilton is buried in the graveyard of Trinity Church in Lower Manhattan, just a few blocks from Wall Street. He was also, of course, a delegate to the Constitutional Convention, so he spent several months in the Philadelphia area. So he's really got many ties to the Mid-Atlantic states. And even though you guys are based in Florida, you do events kind of all over the Eastern Seaboard, don't you?
Absolutely, and we're even expanding beyond the Eastern Seaboard. The Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area is really the area that we're focusing on now to build up a lot of programming. And Alexander Hamilton really was in Philadelphia almost throughout his life. He has an incredible amount of connections to not just Philadelphia, but the greater Philadelphia area. And so we're looking forward to hosting more events about Hamilton in the future for people to really learn about his connections there.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people also don't know that Hamilton was on Washington's staff as aide-de-camp at the Battle of the Brandywine, which occurred on September 11, 1777, just outside of Philadelphia, west-southwest in a little town called Chad's Ford. That happens to be right up the road from where I live. And I think it's very important that people realize that Hamilton was there. He was there at the largest land battle of the Revolution. And even though Washington lost, he did regroup and was able to fight again and, in fact, prevailed in June of 1778 at the Battle of Monmouth Courthouse in New Jersey. You know, there's been a lot of attention on Hamilton in the last year or two, especially with the play. Do you think all this attention has measurably changed the view that most historians have of him? And if so, how?
Well, I think that's a good question. Even beyond historians, I think people in general, they now view Alexander Hamilton as a legitimate and key founding father, where even just a couple years ago, when we were first establishing ourselves and before the musical really brought Hamilton to the forefront of the public, we still got the question, well, if he really did all the things that you say he did, why don't we know about him? So I think that's the really the biggest change that the musical has gendered. There's still so many more things to learn about Hamilton, of course, and there are certain mischaracterizations that continue to be repeated throughout various books. So I think that as we've seen just in the past year, the increase of books on Hamilton, we'll hopefully see an increase in historical research on Alexander Hamilton in addition to the original research we already carry out at the AHA Society. And going back to your previous comment about, you know, Hamilton's role at the Battle of Brandywine, that's really one of our big initiatives at the AHA Society is connecting two historical places. We call it our All Places Hamilton initiative. And so what you used to have, especially before the Hamilton musical fever, is you would go to these historic sites that Hamilton played a really important role at, and there wouldn't be a mention of him. You would never know that he was there. And so part of our work is not only to educate the public about the historic sites that people can visit, but then also helping the historic sites themselves really learn about why Hamilton was important there, who Hamilton was, so that they can then turn around and teach the visitors there about Hamilton's role. So one of the really big things we've seen, even just beyond historians, but at museums and historical societies, that people are really now claiming Hamilton. They're proudly saying that Hamilton slept here. They're proudly saying that Hamilton played this role here. So I think that's one of the really important changes that we've seen.
You know, for visitors to the Chester County area outside Philadelphia, they know that if they drive all the way south on Route 1, which is called Baltimore Pike, as you approach the Maryland state line, Brandywine Battlefield, is, as you're going south, is on the right. If you keep going down to the little town of Chad's Ford, and there's an intersection with Route 100, if you go right there, right up the road is the Chad's Ford Historical Society, and my wife Phyllis and I have we're curators of an exhibit called Alexander Hamilton, Architect of the American Financial System, which is still there at the Society, but it'll only be there through year end. So for any listeners who want to see the Alexander Hamilton Society link to the area, we actually had Society members come here and take a look at the exhibit. They were very impressed. And it's only going to be there for another few weeks. So if you haven't been there, visit the Chad's Ford Historical Society, see the exhibit on Hamilton, be there till year end. Many people don't know that Hamilton influenced really in a major way things we know and experience in our daily lives: creation of our Constitution, banking system, securities markets, taxes, tariffs, formation of Customs Department, U.S. Coast Guard. The list is almost endless. What among these do you think has the most direct impact on people today, and why?
Well, I think that's another great but really difficult question to answer. Going back to what I was saying previously, we really would never have been able to develop to what we are today without a stable government or economic system. I really think people take that for granted, that, you know, it was just meant to be. And when you look at all the other countries that went through the same process that we did, it was not destined. You know, there were so many directions it could have gone, and Hamilton's role in creating that stable economic and government system just cannot be underestimated. His work as both a statesman and a lawyer to not only create the government, create the Constitution, but preserve the concept of rule of law, that was a really big theme of his. That's really contributed to a tradition of government stability that we have been so fortunate to have. Of course, his work in developing the Constitution, working for its ratification, is a whole other topic in of itself. But same with the economic system, another completely long list that he did to, you know, as he mentioned, the banking system, U.S. manufacturing for economic independence, the stock market. All of those little things still exist in some way today, and in some really big way. And so those systems that he put in place really directly affect all of us in our everyday tasks. Even if we're just buying things from the grocery store, every little thing you could dissect and say, wow, Hamilton really had an important influence on this moment.
It's very true. And in my thesis, I actually mentioned that Hamilton and Jefferson were at odds on many issues. specifically the development of manufacturing and industry. Jefferson was an agrarian. He really believed that the future of America was in its farms, which was a dominant view back 230 years ago. However, Hamilton was proven right. Hamilton wanted to diversify the economy and away from just a most subsistence on agriculture toward industry and manufacturing, which really was the catalyst that helped jumpstart the nation's economic growth. I use a comment in my thesis where I say that he kind of predated what we call modern portfolio theory over 200 years ago, because the portfolio was the American economy, and that really was a key development in our economic growth. So a lot of people don't really understand the full implications of everything he did, and I think they're now these facts are just now coming to the attention of many readers and historians. By the way, many historians did not focus on Hamilton's financial achievements in any great detail until about the last 30, 40 years. I know that a guy named Forrest McDonald wrote his PhD dissertation on the economics of the Constitution, and he was a big Hamilton fan. And others have commented on this. Richard Silla is probably one who's done an enormous amount of work. But his financial contributions have really just been tremendous. And you are correct. It's really hard to judge them in just one or two sentences. Going forward, what does the AHA Society hope to achieve regarding spreading the word about Hamilton? What are your long-term goals?
Sure. Well, we really hope to educate not just about Alexander Hamilton's life so that people can connect to it and become inspired in their own lives, much as the musical does, but that on a macro level we can successfully educate about what Alexander Hamilton created, why it's important, so that we can really all better understand not just Hamilton's life, but the history of the U.S., the evolution of the systems that we live with today. We also will continue to work with institutions, authors, scholars, to create more original research on Hamilton and improve the accuracy of information out there. And of course, our long-term goals, which we're working towards, include establishing high-profile museums and monuments to Hamilton so that he can really continue to receive the credit he deserves from the American public.
I think it would be a great inclusion in the new Museum of the American Revolution to have a whole section on Hamilton. And that's supposed to open, I believe, on April 19th of next year. So I'd love to see that, because it would be a great addition. By the way, if any of our listeners want to check out more details, the websites for the Alexander Hamilton Awareness Society are the-aha-society.com and allthingshamilton.com. Just tell us right before we break, just tell us a little bit about those. What can viewers expect to find?
Absolutely. So you can also visit our main website, is just theahasociety.org, a little simpler. That contains information about us, our upcoming events, videos of our past programs, our newsletters, original articles, interviews, membership information, etc. And then our allthingshamilton.com website is really our companion educational database that we're continuing to grow. It includes Hamilton quote collections, trivia, recommended books, and our All Places Hamilton historic profiles that I mentioned. So I really encourage everyone to visit both, because they're really packed with information, and you can also sign up for our newsletter to receive updates on new additions to both of the websites.
Excellent. Nicole, thank you so much for being on the show today. It was great. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday, December 21st at 1 p.m. Eastern, when we'll be speaking with Mindy Rhodes about preserving the historic Crabilly Farm. Thank you all for tuning in today to Living History.